because on the phone is Mr. John Montague, who's probably speaking to us from Arcata. Is that where you are right now, John?
Yeah, I'm in Arcata.
Let's just get right to it. And you found a tree. It's not the tallest tree, right?
No, it's 254 feet tall, which for redwood is medium. Put that in the medium range. So I've been spending a lot of time in the redwood range exploring, checking out trees and measuring, looking for superlatives, and found a big one.
What's a superlative?
Well, biggest, tallest.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a biological criteria. John Montague is with us, and he discovered a tree that has many important superlatives attached to it. It's not the tallest necessarily, but can we say it's the fattest tree?
It is a champion on several levels. There are a few really significant numbers, but when you're talking about tree champions, you're usually referring to either the height of a tree, the total wood volume of a tree, or in this case, the diameter of a tree. So the diameter of a tree reflects its width at 4.5 feet above average ground level. And the diameter of this tree is 29.2 feet, which is a record for redwoods.
This tree, we're speaking about it in kind of vague terms. What is the etiquette? Like, for instance, Hyperion, supposed tallest tree on Earth. Hyperion, nobody talks about exactly where it is because they want to protect it. What is the etiquette in the tree community? Like, are you allowed to point out this tree to other people?
No. I can point it out to, for example, I showed it to Zane and Steve Moore, who are people who would help me verify the measurement. So there are a handful of people in the tree community who you can turn to in a situation like this who will help you verify measurements independently. Aside from that, it's, you know, part of the fun is the secret of it all. You know, like, for example, Hyperion is world famous, but there are really only a dozen or so people who know where it is.
Do you know where it is?
I do.
Where is
it? I do.
It's just you and me.
It's in a place called Milli Vanilli Creek.
Seriously, I want you to take me to Hyperion at some point. Now, this tree that you discovered, are you allowed to say, like, it's in, you know, Jed Smith, or it's in Redwood State Park? Where is this tree?
I'm allowed to, but there are certain members of the tree community who might not be too pleased if I said that. So, I mean, it is in a park. I can say that. It's on public land.
Okay. So it's not under threat of getting cut down.
No. I mean, I'd say every tree is under threat of being cut down because human beings are running rampant around the planet. At this moment in time, it is not a threat.
So let's talk about the footprint of this giant tree, which, again, is just, it's got girth. Like, there's so much girth here. I mean, what is the square footage of this thing on the ground?
It's at the ground level, it's 860 square feet, which is a record for redwoods. And actually, there's only one giant sequoia that's bigger for square footage. And that's the cool thing about this tree is that, the general wisdom, conventional wisdom tells you that giant sequoias have better growth potential in terms of girth than redwoods do. But this redwood actually competes and beats all of the giant sequoias in a couple of examples. And square footage is second of all single-stem trees in the world.
So,
and that's basically, we're talking about, you know, a New York City apartment there at 860 square feet.
Oh, yeah, no. I've lived in a house smaller than that.
So
I guess, I mean, the question is, like, skeptically, why would we believe you? Like, how does this sort of thing get certified? Like, what happens next for you? Do you call Guinness? How do you register something like this?
Well, you know, for me, I'm satisfied with reaching out to Zane Moore and getting his verification and alerting the public, letting them know it's out there. And you know, the rest is things will play out as they play out. I've alerted a handful of other people in the tree community, and they can take that information and do whatever they want with it. But it doesn't really matter to me, I guess, ultimately, how things play out. I know the tree's there, and I've had it verified by someone in the community who I respect, and we'll just let it unfold as it unfolds.
You're not. It's not like you're running around like, you know. I mean, you didn't even put a press release out. Like, this is a champion tree. I mean, your day job. You make board games. Like, that's your thing. That's the day job.
That is something I do. Yeah, I actually have a couple of card games that I've published, and also involved in film as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's true. You've got a lot of little projects here. Are you in the woods like 3 days a week, 2 days a week? How often are you out there just looking for these trees?
I try to get out 3 days a week, and you know, really, I consider my work with the trees my life's work. That's really my life's work. And card games and film and things like that may be temporary, but I'd like to believe that I'll always be working on the trees, and have a handful of projects that I'm involved with right now in the trees that should take a lifetime to finish. So I feel pretty good about that.
I know in the, for instance, the big wall climbing, like my brother's a mountain climber, and there's a lot of prestige that comes along with discovering new routes. You get naming rights on first ascents when you bag a new peak.
Oh, yeah.
So is this the same kind of discovery culture in the tree world?
Well, there's a mixed bag. You know, some of the scientists assign numbers to trees, and people like me, I like naming trees. It's part of the fun when you find something new, settling on a name for it. And I like to assign a little bit of character to the trees. Numbers are boring, but trees make books, you know. Books tell stories, and trees tell stories. So I like assigning a little bit of personality and character to the trees when I find them.
And the name that you gave to this this champion tree is?
Jupiter.
Congratulations, Jupiter. You just got named. What is the guesstimate on its age if it's got so much girth?
Well, that's a great question, and we don't know the answer, but we suspect that it is a candidate for oldest living redwood. Based on its size, and that's not something I hadn't mentioned to you before, actually, but based on its size and its just general look about it, what we can tell just from looking at its surface, it is a candidate for oldest redwood, but that's not something that we can do on our own, and actually have passed the information along to certain people in the community who do age trees and kind of have it on their radar, and we're hopeful that they get out there and find out how old it is, because we think it's the candidate for oldest redwood, which is also exciting.
So for a person listening who's just sort of a casual observer to this, like, let me see if I'm getting all this right, John Montague. You are basically a hobbyist. You're out in the woods. You're measuring trees. It's fun to discover things. You have a real passion for it. You find this giant tree. You check it out. You do the measurements. You look at your numbers, and you go, this is the real deal. You call in Zane Moore and another fellow, and they come in, and they verify your measurements. And now you just sort of toss the ball into the world's court?
Yeah. And if people are interested, they're interested. If they're not, they're not. That's kind of how I feel.
Let's say that this turns out to be a thing and it goes in Guinness Book and all that. You will be credited with discovering maybe the world's oldest redwood, certainly or oldest known redwood, and the girthiest one. What's next?
Known to man.
Yeah,
known to man. I'm
exactly
convinced there's a bigger one out there. The pipe dream was the 30-foot redwood, and this, when that pipe dream started, the biggest one was 26 feet, and then I found one that was 27.2, and then Mario Vaden found one that was 27.4, and now we have this 29.2, so there's more out there to find, and I really would love to find that 30-footer. Michael Taylor, who's discovered the tallest tree in the world, discovered Hyperion, called me up and he said, John, I had a dream that you found a 31-foot redwood. And an interesting thing about Michael is he dreamt that he found Hyperion before he found Hyperion. So really, we're talking about that 31-footer and finding that next.
We're going to wrap it up here. Stay in the line, okay? John Montague?
Sure thing, man.
Thank you
Happy
so
too.
Much. Yeah, oh, it's great. And congratulations, the 30-footer, the dream of the 30-footer. We'll be right back.